let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The Ratton Expedition by David Horning unfurls a steampunk adventure that begins in the East and travels to the Wild West. Technology has advanced rapidly in an alternate reality world where the American Civil War lasted 10 years. A decade after the guns of the South were silenced, the embers of war still burn white hot. English Canada and French Mexico still snarl at the Union, but a new terror faces the country. Can a former Union officer, now a museum director, survive long enough to stop a pair of mad renegade scientists hell-bent on the destruction of the Union? David holds a B.S. and master's degrees in mechanical engineering, a doctorate in environmental engineering, and several other social and physical science degrees, a licensed professional engineer in New York State. He also holds an M.A. in pastoral ministry. Now, after working for 25 years in the chemical process industry, he retired. He also worked for the Municipal Housing Authority and later for the Department of Public Works for the City of Buffalo, also served as the city engineer. David spent many years teaching engineering at the college level, an avid history buff, including many years as a Civil War reenactor. David A. Horning, author of The Ratton Expedition, is our guest on This Week in America. David, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us to talk about your book.
Well, thanks for having me on, Rick. I appreciate it. Been looking forward to it.
Well, I have too. This is a really an exciting book, a really unique take on the Civil War and what might have happened afterwards, the what-ifs that we'll talk about during the course of the interview. I mentioned the background, a science background. What were the circumstances that caused you to start writing? Where did this writing come from?
Well, that part's actually easy, but it's not pleasant. I retired, and a week later my wife collapsed. So I spent the next 10 years caring for my wife while she slowly died. I only got to go out of town once a year for a long weekend when her best friend came to stay with her. I couldn't stand the game show network. She was living in our living room in a hospital bed. So I hid out in my office and started to write. To top that off, I had wanted to leave some bad reviews for some really bad paranormal and science fiction, but before I shot my mouth off, the question was, could I do better? I was taught to walk a mile in the other man's moccasins before you criticize.
Yes. Well, and you've been able to write so well. The book is receiving rave reviews. It's one of two, and we'll talk about both. The Ratton Expedition by David A. Horning. His website is very simple. It's his name, David A. Horning, HORNUNG.com. Link for that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, to take you right to David's website, information on the books. You mentioned writing reviews, other people's stories. What bugs you when reading other people's stories? What was it that you read that you thought, you know, I'm going to critique that, and second of all, I'm going to do better? What was it that bugs you about some other the authors that you've read?
Well, there's a couple things. First, worlds that the authors do not make the background clear, whether it's sci-fi, fantasy, or paranormal. So that I have to spend the first half or better of the book trying to figure out what the setting was instead of enjoying the story. Second thing that puts my teeth on edge are plot devices that make no sense. The author gets into a corner generally because they did not think it through or they didn't do the research and solves it by pulling magic or the super science gizmo out of their butt to solve the problem instead of taking the time to do a rewrite or think up a more believable solution. And third, same as two, except they didn't even do that and left you with a totally improbable story point.
You know, as you're saying, going through all of that, we can all remember stories that we've read like this that made really no sense. And you've got time invested in it, so I guess you go ahead and you finish the book. But those are points that are left dangling. You don't fully understand. It's not logical. It doesn't make a lot of sense. When you read The Ratton Expedition, it's really well laid out. And we'll talk about that in detail as we go through our conversation here today. It really flows. It's an excellent writing style. David Horning, the author, is our guest on the program. Who influenced you? Who were some of the writers, possibly, that you really enjoyed? You look forward to their new books, and they may have influenced your writing style.
Well, first of all, yeah, the relatively easy question, yeah, right. there were so many. Certainly, probably one of the biggest ones was my dad, who loved to read and had a rather interesting life. So I attribute my love of reading, engineering, and problem solving to him. I can't even guess at the number of Reader's Digest condensed books I read as a kid and loved it every month when a new collection would show up. Or, as my cousin Joni once put it, when my late wife was complaining to her about me, "You are your father's son. You're just like Uncle Frank." Among the writers, all those folks who wrote speculative history, the what ifs of history, what if two, return to what if, son of what if rides again, you know. My story takes its starting point at such a what if. The factual history writers who allowed me to get the facts and feel of the times to weave the tapestry for my stories. And finally, the TV and filmmakers who brought those times to life so I could feel it. Maybe the most importantly were various educators and supervisors who didn't accept second-rate work. I have to admit, at the time, I didn't appreciate that so much that it was not being accepted. But.
Exactly.
And then finally, two authors that stand out to me. First is Tom Clancy, who came up with a new genre called the techno-thriller, and a gal named Gail Carringer, for showing me how to quickly bring her reader up to speed on her world, which is just around the corner from ours, but in such a way that, to paraphrase it, it makes getting into the world half the fun.
Well, you take characteristics from those and incorporate in your work. The book we're talking about specifically, The Ratten Expedition, that's RATTEN, by David Horning, HORNUNG. His website is davidahorning.com. Link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You picked steampunk for the genre that you decided to write in. How is the steampunk adventure different from maybe other stories in the genre? And maybe just a brief explanation what steampunk is for some that may not know it. And why did you choose that? And why did you give it a little bit different spin?
Okay. All right. Why did I choose it? I was for many years a Civil War reenactor and loved the 19th century. I'm a model railroader, and my modeling tends to orient towards that period. I volunteered as a docent in a local history museum in the train room. And note, when you can't get any of the trains to run, yeah, it happened to me. You have to do a super song and dance to make yourself come alive.
Yes.
I'm a miniature war gamer. Again, it's the Victorian period is my favorite period. Being somewhat less than fully mobile, I'm kind of crippled up. I use a cane, which is a reproduction of a period cane, and wear a derby hat, which, surprisingly, this is a hint to some of your older male readers, I get a lot of compliments on, especially from older ladies. they seem to find it kind of sexy. As I noted, I tried to follow Clancy's lead and write a techno steampunk. Steampunk is basically, it's Victorian science fiction. H.G. Wells would probably be the best one. Jules Verne.
Oh, yes.
And that it's a science fiction story, but it's set in a Victorian period. And steam is king. I used to tell my students when I was lecturing, because I taught thermodynamics as one of the courses I taught, and I said, being a former seminarian, I said, you have God, and at his right hand is Jesus, at his left hand is the Holy Spirit, and around his feet are the chief mechanical engineers of the various railroads. because steam was king. But I tried, like I say, I try to follow Clancy's lead, and the gizmos I use are understandable and at least sound plausible, but there's a background to the story. They're not the story. First of all, my yarns are first and foremost people stories.
Yes.
This particular, it's about a group of humans with their strong points, their flaws, and the pain they go through as they help each to heal each other. Where the stopping of the bad guys is just a chance to tell their stories. The other difference is, there's a couple of major ones. First of all, it's set in the United States, which is not unheard of in steampunk, but it's rare. Most of them are set in Europe or whatever. The other point is, and it's the only one I've ever read, where a clergy, in this case, Father Peter Harrigan, is one of the central characters, because I don't think I've ever read another steampunk story. There probably is one out there, but I've never read it, where you have a cleric as a major character. But what do you expect? I'm a former seminarian, so.
Well, yeah, so I guess it's only natural you would carry that out. And I'm glad that you said it's more than a steampunk story. Read some of those, and they tend to get boring after a while. The focus is on the technology, and you sort of you will lose the reader as you go. This, as you said, is a people story. Talk about that. I mean, John Morton, who I talked about, was the former union officer. We see a transformation in him. All of the people that are involved in the storyline are unique characters, and they all have a story. That obviously was important to you to tell a people story. You're using steampunk as sort of a background.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. Morton is, of course, the main protagonist,
yes.
And he was a Civil War officer, volunteer. You have to understand that in the American Civil War, the United States Army, per se, played a very small part. They were out west fighting Indians. Most of the bulk of the Union forces were state militias who were brought into federal service, and Morton is such an officer. And he is been so busy with his museum work and this, that, and the other thing, he's kind of not paid attention to his life. The second major character is a gal named Julia Veroli. Julia is a very interesting character. She was picked up as an orphan. Think Gangs of New York. Okay, that's what when I was writing this.
Oh,
is what I'm
okay,
doing.
Yeah.
She was about 10, 8 or 10 years old, and she was arrested for stealing an apple. She'd been an orphan. She'd been living on the streets. And instead of going to a workhouse or something, she is picked up by a guy named William Anderson. And Anderson is the puppet master, pulling all the strings behind everything. And she is trained to be a cold-blooded killer. He's trained her as an assassin and spy. And he uses her internally for things like the steampunk adventure.
Yes.
And so, here's this beautiful young woman. I have to admit, the girl I had envisioned when I was writing Julia was, she played Yvonne Craig. She played Batgirl
yes.
in the original Batman series, along with a lot of other parts in various TV shows of the period. She has no feelings at all. I mean, she's a stone killer. And being with Morton, all of a sudden things are changing. The next major character is a black Afro-American, one of the current euphemisms. Was a genius. I call him a tinker. We would have called him an inventor in our time. And he came up with some things to help his unit during the Civil War. He was part of the second black regiment. To fight. And again, afterwards, they pick him up because they think they're going to need a tinker along with. And he's broken. His wife and his wife died in childbirth along with his daughter, because the hospital at that time wouldn't take in blacks. It was only for whites. So he's a man burning with a lot of kind of hatred. And finally, there's Peter Harrigan. And finally, the key puzzle is a little black girl who Morton saves from being gang raped in Buffalo. And she's the one that begins to unlock both Julia and Isaiah's hearts. She becomes the family Julia never had, and she becomes the daughter Isaiah had lost. Well, it's interesting.
Well, you've got our attention with the characters and reading the reviews. They love the characters and really can get into following and anxious to see what happens with the characters. The book is The Ratten Expedition, R-A-T-T-E-N, by David Horning, H-O-R-N-U-N-G. The book available at all the usual places. His website, best place to go, davidahorning.com. Now, this, I understand, was to be the second book, but it became the first book. How did that happen? Why did that happen?
I actually haven't the slightest idea.
Okay.
I had the whole second book plotted out, which is called The Subterranean Expedition. Blatant plug there.
Yes.
And it started out, and all of a sudden, these characters took off in a totally different direction. And I was just like watching a movie and writing, as I put it, these characters took, and I was just along for the land based Nantucket sleigh ride as the chronicler of their adventure. I still don't know how it happened, but it was great fun while I was doing it.
You're sort of like
then, and then finally I turned around and said, okay, well, I wrote a pretty good book there, but could I write the book that I set out to write? And that's how the second book came around.
It's interesting. And both of those are available at David's website. Yeah. The Subterranean Expedition, the second expedition, is the one that I'm not going to get into. It's supposed to be the first in all of this, but enjoy both of them. They're both available at David's website, davidahorning.com. Where do you get the ideas for the books? Where did the ideas come from these two books, for these two books?
In both of these, to a certain extent, if you remember the Ray Bradbury Theater.
Oh, yes, TV, yes.
Yeah, he talks about how the things in his office are things that he gets ideas from. The steam tunneling machine found in the second book is a miniature I put together for my steampunk armies with bits and bobs, pieces from the craft store, and a broken HO scale army tank with nothing more in mind than to make it look really cool. In a similar vein, the Ratten got their genesis and dress from some miniatures that I bought from Rebel Minis and painted up, and were built as 15 millimeter pie rats. And the rest of it is just some random thoughts as I was painting up passengers for my 19th century passenger train and wondering who they were and where they were going and what they were doing. So it was just all sorts of ideas and good ideas.
Interesting. We see where all of your background ties into who you are as an author. With that in mind, what are you working on now? Do you have another book that you were in the process of writing?
I've got a couple of things. First of all, now that my nephew stopped over and moved my older washing machine out of the way, I mentioned I was mobility impaired, I can get to the far side of my cellar. Now I should be able to finish, take some pictures and finish up a set of wargaming rules from the 19th century and a set for World War II and Weird World War II. After that, I'm working on a new character and series of short stories for him, and my fiance is bugging me to get back to writing. You are a good writer. Very direct. God, I love that one.
Well, she's accurate too. You are a good writer, so I hope that she has an influence on you and you work on these stories, and you can follow where David is with these stories when he has them ready to publish by referring to his website, davidahorning.com. Couple minutes left in the conversation. You talked about this a second ago, all your hobbies and your background. That really has influenced you as a writer, hasn't it?
Yeah. I think that I mentioned enough things to get folks in my mind works. By the way, if they have any insights, please drop me a note, because most of the time I can't figure me out. But as an engineer, my tales have to tell a believable story that is consistent with the world or worlds as I invent them. As a seminarian, there has to be a moral framework to them. And as a history buff, it has to be an honest setting aside from the what-ifs and the fancy inventions. So those are pretty much my guidelines.
Yes, and I love the what-if, and you can see that in the book we're talking about, the Ratten Expedition. Civil War goes on at 10 years. That's sort of a what-if. There are people that see something happening and wonder the what-ifs. I guess as a scientist by trade, that's what you would be thinking as you enter an engineer, as you enter into all these different possibilities. And it shows in David's work. Second or so here to wrap this up. You mentioned that you love to send off negatives, or wanted to send off negative comments, negative reviews, maybe constructive critical reviews to people who write. Do people do that on your books, and how do you handle a negative comment?
Most of the time I'll look at it. Oh, one thing I should mention too, differences, if you go to the end of my book, there's a glossary in the back of the terms I've used.
Okay, thank you.
A lot of people won't know the various 19th century terms, so there is a glossary in the back. No, I let them, most of the time I let them roll off. I think I mentioned I was city engineer. I had to go out and do a lot of stuff, and many times people were not happy with the city. so you had to be careful of what you said and how you said it, otherwise the tar and feathers would muffle the whole meeting.
Yes.
I love the quote from Candace Owens that said, "The world is rough, get a helmet." I can deal with it.
Well, and that says it all. As a public official, you believe me, you can handle criticism, and that's what David has been able to do. You're working with Reader's Magnet, self-publishing company, marketing company, to get the books out there to talk about them. What's that experience been like working with Reader's Magnet on the business side of being a writer?
It's been very pleasant. Been very, very supportive. And again, I'm decent engineer, fair writer, et cetera, but I am not a businessman. And sales and all that are not my forte. But they have been terrific to work with, and they've given me a lot of tips and a lot of hand-holding as I made this journey.
Well, you're more than a fair writer. You're a very gifted writer, a talented writer, and we look forward to more books. We've got two that we can enjoy right now. The book we talked about today, The Ratten Expedition, RATTEN. And the second or the first book, depending on how you look at it, The Subterranean Expedition, The Second Expedition. Find these at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places, and David's website, David A. Horning, HORNUNG.com. David, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Hopefully we can do this again in talking about the newest book. Thank you so much for spending some time with us on the program.
Thank you for spending some time with a beat-up old, scruffy old plant dog, Rick.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking about the Ratten Expedition with the author, David Horning. Again, his website is davidahorning.com, H-O-R-N-U-N-G. Link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.